Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, 25th of February, 2026, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God this evening to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all that we have and all that we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the privilege of fellowshipping with you this evening through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Second Corinthians 9. These are the two greatest chapters, 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9, the two greatest chapters in all of the Word of God that defines and explains exactly what grace giving is all about. And that's the only giving that God honors, grace giving. And these two chapters are phenomenal. And we're almost finished with the second chapter, chapter 9. We are in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. And this is the reward of generosity in grace giving. In the grace of God, Christians are blessed in three ways for their generosity in grace giving. First of all, the ones who give in grace will be blessed by God in a very special way. That's 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 through 10, and that's what we are in. We are in that section right now. We have exegeted verses 6 through 8, but we still have a couple more verses to go. Second, the receiver's needs are met. That's 2 Corinthians 9, 11 and 12. And then third, God, the source of all blessing, is praised, 2 Corinthians 9, verses 13 to 15. We are in the first section. We are in the ones who give in grace will be blessed. We've exegeted verses 6 through 8. It sounds like this. Verse 6, remember this principle of giving. The one who sows sparingly, miserly, grudgingly, he will also reap sparingly. But the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Verse 7. Each one just as he is determined in his heart, that is, has been motivated in his heart, so give. Not reluctantly, grudgingly, nor under compulsion, under pressure, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Verse 8, and God is able, strong enough as the omnipotent God, to make all grace superabound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may superabound with reference to every good deed. And in our context, that is grace giving. We exegeted verse 8, but we didn't pull it all together. So point one. Second Corinthians 9, verse 8, this verse is full of words indicating God's enabling grace, superabounding to you. Every one of you as a grace-oriented believer, a believer that has virtue, love brought to completion in your heart. This verse is full of words indicating God's enabling grace, superabounding to you for your grace giving, guaranteeing that you will have all sufficiency for grace giving. Two, God provides all the grace at all times, having all that you need for grace giving. God provides all grace at all times, having all that you need for grace giving. Three, God's grace superabounds to you. God's grace superabounds to you so that believers can abound in their grace giving. God's grace superabounds to you so that believers can abound in their grace giving. Four, God provides in grace both spiritual and material blessings for grace giving. God provides in grace both spiritual and material blessings for grace giving. Point five. The principle is this: the inflow of grace from God. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as you attain spiritual maturity and have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you will recognize the fact that of God's amazing grace flowing to you day after day after day after day. This principle, the inflow of grace from God to you, and that The baby believers, the carnal reversionistic believers, never appreciate this. But the spiritually adult believer does. He's fulfilled the mandate of 2 Peter 3:18. He's grown up in grace orientation. He's grown up in doctrinal orientation. He's attained spiritual maturity. He has virtue love brought to completion in his heart. He has personal love for God the Father. He knows the Father, his essence, who and what he is. He has impersonal love for all. And that's the kind of love that's involved in grace giving. Impersonal love for all. Not personal love, impersonal love. And occupation with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the great illustration and precedent for the principle of grace giving. Jesus Christ gave himself in grace on the cross. And we're going to see that in the last verse of 2 Corinthians 9. The indescribable gift from God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ and his work on the cross for each one of us, so that through simple faith in Christ, we can have eternal salvation and live with the living and true God forever. The great illustration of grace giving, the greatest precedence for grace giving, is the indescribable gift of the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation work on the cross. And that will be the conclusion of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So the principle is this. The inflow of grace from God, day after day after day, should result in the outflow of grace. Grace function in your life and grace giving. The inflow of grace from God should result in the outflow of grace in your life. Grace function in your life and grace giving. 6. The greatest illustration of this principle is Christ's grace giving of himself on the cross. The greatest illustration of this principle is Christ's grace giving of himself on the cross. Second Corinthians 8, verse 9. Of course, we studied this, but that was probably 3 or 4 years ago. You probably forgot. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, the eternal God, yet for your sakes he became poor. He went to the cross and willingly took the imputation of your sins in him and the sins of the whole world, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. And as I mentioned, the conclusion of these two chapters, 2 Corinthians 9, 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So the greatest illustration of this principle is Christ's grace giving of himself on the cross. And when you nail that and have that reality in your soul and your heart, why, you will also willingly, wantingly give in grace. And that is, when you get to that point, that is very special. 7. Grace giving is one of the greatest grace challenges in your life. Grace giving is one of the greatest grace challenges in your life. 8. It takes more grace to give in grace than anything else. Because grace giving depends on what you are in your soul. That's the whole key. Grace giving depends on what you are in your soul. You must have grace orientation. You must have doctrinal orientation. You must have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. Personal love for the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. So it takes more grace to give in grace than anything else because grace giving depends on what you are in your soul, in your heart. And frankly, very few believers, sad to say, but very few believers have virtue love brought to completion in their heart. Very few believers have attained spiritual maturity in America today. There are a lot of Christians. It's just that most Christians are out of fellowship with God, living by the lust patterns of their sin nature, living in Satan's cosmic system. They are carnal reversionistic believers, no grace orientation, no doctrinal orientation, no virtue love brought to completion in their heart. They do not love the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so, in their soul, that's the key. There's no grace orientation, no doctrinal orientation, no virtue love. So it takes more grace to give in grace than anything else. Why? Because grace giving is what you are in here, in your heart, in your soul. That's the key. 9. The greatest test for capacity of life and capacity for love and capacity for happiness is the principle of grace giving. The greatest test for capacity for life, capacity for love, capacity for happiness is the principle of grace giving. 10. When someone gives in grace, they never expect anything in return. When someone gives in grace, they never expect anything in return. Eleven. They are delighted to give. They enjoy giving in grace. They want to give in grace because of what's in their soul. Maximum grace orientation, maximum doctrinal orientation, and virtue love brought to completion in their heart. So they are delighted to give. They enjoy giving. They want to give in grace because of what is in their soul, what is in their heart. Maximum grace orientation, doctrinal orientation, and virtue love brought to completion in their heart. 12. Grace giving is the ultimate test for the spiritually mature believer. Grace giving is the ultimate test for the spiritually mature believer. 13. Grace giving requires grace motivation. And that motivation comes from your soul. It includes motivation from God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, keep on being empowered by the Spirit, walk by means of the Spirit, and you will not carry out the lust patterns of the sin nature, and motivation from maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. So grace giving requires grace motivation, and the grace motivation comes from in here. The filling of the Spirit and maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart. When you are living the Spirit-filled life and you have maximum metabolized doctrine in your heart, why, this is grace-giving is just the result. You enjoy it. You love it. You look forward to it. 14. Every time you, as a royal priest, offer the spiritual sacrifice of grace giving, every time you, as a royal priest, you're all a priest. You're all a royal priest. The universal priesthood of the church, excuse me, of the church age believer. Universal priesthood. Every believer in the church age is a priest. You're all a priest. We're not living in the age of Israel where there was a specialized priesthood. You had to be from the tribe of Levi. We're not in the age of Israel. We're in the church age. Universal priesthood of the believer. In the age of Israel, specialized priesthood, it was animal sacrifices. No more. Jesus Christ fulfilled all what all those animal sacrifices were designed to teach. He fulfilled them by His work on the cross. But we are living in the church age. The universal priesthood of the royal family of God. We don't offer animal sacrifices. We offer spiritual sacrifices. And two of the great spiritual sacrifices we offer is prayer and grace giving. Prayer and grace giving. Spiritual sacrifices that you offer from your royal priesthood. Well, I expect all of you to understand these things. Very, very few members of the royal family of God, believers today, understand this at all. But they don't have been under the authority of a spiritual gift of pastor, teacher, communicating the absolute truth of the God-breathed scriptures and studying 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9, which is so, so important. So every time you, as a royal priest, offer the spiritual sacrifice of grace giving, it is a twofold expression of God's grace. First, God's grace in the spiritual realm, and that is the realm of the invisible realm. And secondly, God's grace in the material realm. And that is the visible realm. So every time you as a royal priest offer the spiritual sacrifice of grace giving, it is a twofold expression of God's grace. God's grace in the invisible realm and God's grace in the visible realm. 15. God in His matchless grace provides both the spiritual motivation and the monetary capital for grace giving. God in His matchless grace provides both the spiritual motivation and the monetary capital for grace giving. So once again, 2 Corinthians 9:6-8. Remember this principle of giving. The one who sows sparingly, grudgingly, he shall also reap sparingly. But the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one, just as he has determined in his heart, has been motivated in his heart. So give, not reluctantly, grudgingly, nor under compulsion or pressure, for God loves a grace-oriented giver. Verse 8, and God is able, he's strong enough as the omnipotent God, to make all grace superabound to you, that always, having all sufficiency in everything, you may superabound with reference to every good deed, i.e. grace giving. All right. Now that brings us to verse 9. That usually follows verse 8. See? Now in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9, we have documentation. We have a quotation from Psalm 112, verse 9. So 2 Corinthians 9, verse 9 starts out and says, we always start with the King James, as it is written. And this is a very special formula. We have the adverb kathos plus the perfect passive indicative of grapho. So, let me put it up here. I'll put it exact. I want you to see the formula. Kathos. Gegraptai. That's exactly how it looks in the Koine Greek. K-A-T-H long O-S G-E-G-R-A-P-T-A-I. Kathos gegraptai. All right. One. Kathos gegraptai is a special formula. And any pastor studying from the original languages, and I wish we had hundreds, but we don't. You can count on one hand the number of people that are doing this. Kathos gegraptai is a special formula that is used to introduce quotations from the Old Testament. Soon as I saw kathos gegraptai, I knew exactly what God the Holy Spirit was stating here. Two, kathos is an adverb that indicates a comparison and is correctly translated just as. Just as. And then, point three, we have the perfect passive indicative of grapho. And that's the perfect passive indicative. Gegraptai. So we have the perfect passive indicative of grapho. And you translate that, it is written, or it stands written. Just as it stands written. And this is a quotation from Psalm 112, verse 9. So point four, kathos gegraptai introduces a quotation from Psalm 112, verse 9. 5. Kathos Gegrapti puts the spotlight on the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. On the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Six. This quotation of Psalm 112, verse 9, in our verse, 2 Corinthians 9:9, is teaching the same doctrinal principles, is teaching the same doctrinal principles that the Apostle Paul taught in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. So this quotation, Psalm 112:9, in our verse, is teaching the same doctrinal principles that the Apostle Paul taught in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. 7. God, in His matchless grace, provides both the spiritual motivation and the monetary capital for grace giving. God, in His matchless grace, provides both the spiritual motivation and the monetary capital for grace giving. So in corrected translation, it says, just as it stands written, quotation from Psalm 112, verse 9. Just as it stands written, He hath dispersed abroad. This is the aorist active indicative of scorpizo. So we just have one verb here, one word, scorpizo. S-K-O-R-P-I-Z, long O, scorpizo. Very special verb that the Apostle Paul and his genius combined with the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul use this very special verb. So, let's get a few things on this verb, scorpizo. One, scorpizo literally means to scatter or to disperse. To scatter or to disperse. Figuratively, scorpizo means to distribute or to give. To distribute or to give. Three, scorpizo was used of a sower sowing a lot of seed. A sower sowing a lot of seed. Four, in our verse, the subject of scorpizo is God. In our verse, the subject of scorpizo is God. Very important. The subject of the verb scorpizo is God. Five, this is God giving generously. Graciously. Six, this is God giving generously in eternity past. You see, our God knew, He knew all about every one of you. In eternity past, before you were ever here. How about that? That's because He's God. He knew everything about you. And he gave generously in eternity past everything that you would need. He set it all up in eternity past, before you were ever here. So point seven, in eternity past, God knew everything you would ever need, and he generously and graciously provided for you. So the corrected translation, just as it stands written, quoting Psalm 112:9, he, God, has given generously, graciously, and then it says, he hath given to the poor. Now, again, we have a very special word. We have a hapax legomenon on here. Not to give. That's found, didomi means found all over. But the word poor. This is the only time this word for poor is found in the New Testament scripture. Just this one time. And that's very special. And, I'll even give you a heads up here. Here's the word that's normally the word for poor. Ptokos. Ptokos. That's the word, the normal word, for the poor. And that is found 34 times in the New Testament. 34 times, ptokos. We don't have ptokos. We have penes. And this is the only place in the Word of God that we have penes. Very special word. So, he hath given to the poor. This is the aorist active indicative of didomi plus the dative plural of penes with the definite article. Now, didomi, you all have seen this many, many times. D-I-D, long O-M-I, didomi. And a couple of things. One, didomi means to give something to someone. To give something to someone. Didomi. Two. Once again, the subject of the verb is God. Once again, the subject of the verb is God. Three. God provides for you and gives to you on the basis of who and what he is, his essence, his attributes, his sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omniscience, omnipotence, omnipresence, immutability, veracity. God provides for you and gives to you on the basis of who and what he is. Four. He is a God of absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He is a God of infinite grace. Amazing grace. And we have been graced out by his amazing grace from the beginning to now. God provides for you and gives to you on the basis of who and what he is. He is a God of absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He is a God of amazing grace. Five, therefore God gives to you in grace. God gives to you in grace. And as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ and attain spiritual maturity, you know this. You know this. You appreciate it. You see it day after day after day. You're overwhelmed by God's amazing grace to you. He just keeps giving to you in grace, infinite and matchless grace. Now, sixth, the word for the poor is a totally unique and very special word. Penes. I guess I didn't put it up there. Penes. P-E-N, long E-S. Penes. This is the only time this word is ever found in the New Testament scriptures. It's a hapax legomenon. There's the patokos is used 34 times for the poor, but this is only used one time. Why? Glad you asked. Seven. Penes means poor, needy, the poor man. Poor, needy, the poor man. Eight, while penes can refer to the destitute believer, this unique word actually describes in our verse all believers. This unique word actually describes all believers. All of us are penes. All of us are penes in helplessness. All of us are penes. We deserve nothing. All of us are penes. We earn nothing. All of us are penes. We are totally dependent upon God and His amazing grace. All believers are penes. Penes in helplessness, penes in deserving nothing, penes in earning nothing, penes in being totally dependent upon God and His amazing grace. 10. Therefore, penes has the connotation of being the recipient and beneficiary of God's amazing grace provision. Therefore, penes has the connotation of being the recipient and beneficiary of God's amazing grace provision. So our corrected translation, just as it stands written, quotation from Psalm 112:9, He, God, has given generously, graciously. He gave to the poor, penes, and then His righteousness remaineth forever. His righteousness remaineth forever. This is the nominative singular of dikaiosune with the definite article, plus the genitive singular of autos, plus the present active indicative of meno, plus the prepositional phrase eis, plus the accusative singular of ion with the definite article. Dikaiosune autu. Dikaiosune autu, D-I-K-A-I-O-S-U-N, long E, A-U-T-O-U, dikaiosune autu. Point one, dikaiosune autu, His righteousness is God's absolute righteousness. Dikaiosune autu, His righteousness is God's absolute righteousness. Two, God possesses eternal, unchangeable, and perfect righteousness. God possesses eternal, unchangeable, and perfect righteousness. Absolute righteousness. Plus R, absolute righteousness. 3, all justice is administered from the absolute righteousness of God. All justice is administered from the absolute righteousness of God. For the absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God puts the spotlight on the virtue and honor and integrity of God. The absolute righteousness and perfect justice of God puts the spotlight on the virtue, the honor, the integrity of God. Five, God's absolute righteousness and grace virtue also puts the spotlight on God's holiness. God's absolute righteousness and grace virtue also puts the spotlight on God's holiness. Turn over to Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19. Verses 1 and 2. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, 'Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy.'" And then look over to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel verse chapter 2. "There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God." And then look at Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Verse 3, Psalm 22, verse 3, "Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel." So God's absolute righteousness and grace virtue puts the spotlight on the fact of God's holiness. Point 6, God is absolute good. Intrinsically good, absolute good, and absolute good is absolute righteousness. God is absolute good, and absolute good is absolute righteousness. Now, this is not goody good. This is not legalistic good. This is not distorted good from your sin nature, whereby man tries to impress God and impress people with how good he is. This is absolute good. And absolute good is absolute righteousness. Turn over to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 8. Good and righteous, absolute righteousness, is the Lord. And therefore he instructs sinners in his ways. And then go over to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good, intrinsically good. Happiness is to the man who takes refuge in him. And that is living the faith rest life. And the next verse, fear the Lord, that's category 2, occupation with Christ. And then turn over to Psalm 86. Psalm 86. Psalm 86, verse 5. You are forgiving and intrinsically good, O Lord, abounding in grace to all who call to you. And then turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 68. You are intrinsically good, and what you do is intrinsically good. Teach me your decrees, Bible doctrine. And then point 7, God is perfect, both in his person and in his character. God is perfect, both in his person and in his character. Turn over to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Verse 4. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Absolute righteousness and justice is he. And then turn over to Psalm 7. Psalm 7. Psalm 7, verse 9. O righteous God, who searches minds and hearts, bring to an end the violence of the reversionist and make the righteous secure. And then over to Psalm 11. Psalm 11, verse 7. The Lord is absolute righteousness. He loves justice. Righteous men, the grace righteous believer, the spiritually mature believer, will see his face, occupation with Jesus Christ. And then turn to Psalm 119 again. Psalm 119, verse 137. Psalm 119, verse 137. Absolute righteousness are you, O Lord, and your laws are righteous. The Word of God. And then turn over to 1 John 2. 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verse 29. 1 John 2:29. If you know that He is absolute righteousness, then you know that everyone also who practices righteousness, that is the grace righteous winner believer, is born of Him. So we've seen here in point 5, God's righteousness and grace virtue puts a spotlight on His holiness. Point 6, God is absolute good, intrinsically good. Absolute good is perfect righteousness. And then 7, God is perfect both in His person and in His character. And that brings us to point 8. God is perfect righteousness, absolute righteousness in His attitudes and in His actions. In His attitudes and in His actions. And then we have in our verse the verb meno. M-E-N-long-O, meno. And meno literally means to stay. Often it has the special sense of to live or to dwell or to lodge. Figuratively, meno means to remain, to continue, to abide. With the prepositional phrase eisteon aiona, which is what we have, with the prepositional phrase eisteon aiona, E-I-S-T-O-N-A-I, long O-N-A. Eisteon aiona, it means His righteousness, His grace virtue abides forever. Abide forever. So, the corrected translation then says, just as it stands written, quoting from Psalm 112:9, He, God, has given generously, graciously. He gave to the poor. His righteousness, His grace, virtue abides forever. All right. Well, now I want to pull that together, but I'm not going to be able to do that in 60 seconds. So come back next week. We'll pull this together. I mean, this is amazing. And as I expect all of you, as you have the positive volition and the humility to assemble and respect for God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it, I expect you to grow up in grace orientation and doctrinal orientation, attain spiritual maturity, have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. And when you accomplish that, why, grace giving, you will understand everything that's being communicated in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It'll be something that you, from your royal priesthood, offer this spiritual sacrifice again and again and again to the honor and to the glory of the living and true God. It's going to get better in these last few verses. And we'll take it up from here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing and infinite grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge each one of us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.